Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming out this morning. As she mentioned, my name is Melissa Pickett, and I'm here on behalf of the Center for Health Policy Research and the PI. Dr. Yingying Ming couldn't be here today, so I'm here to represent her and the research that we've done together. I have no financial relationships to disclose, but I welcome any financial relationships if anyone would like to give me one. This presentation is actually going to be relatively short because it's only looking at one of our outcome measures and one of our exposures. Much of our research focuses on respiratory outcomes, so air pollution exposure has been associated with reduced lung function, respiratory inflammation, lung congestion, asthma attacks, ED and hospital visits, medication use, absences from school and work. Low-income subpopulations have more negative respiratory health outcomes, such as urgent care visits. Also, low-income subpopulations have been previously shown to have greater air pollution exposure and to live in areas of high traffic density. For example, in previous literature, census block groups in the lowest quartile of median family income were 3 times more likely to have high traffic density than census block groups that were in the highest income quartile. So this research aims to answer the following questions. One is, do low-income children have greater air pollution exposure? And also, do they experience greater air pollution impacts due to the interaction between their exposures and their vulnerability? We used two databases for this. We used the California Health Interview Survey, specifically the CHIS 2003 survey, which I will discuss a little bit more in my next slide. The second database that we used was from the California Air Resources Board, and we used their air monitoring data and linked the two together. We calculated the annual averages for ozone, NO2, PM10, and PM2.5, and estimated the individual respondent exposure for each of those four pollutants. Finally, we did logistic regression analyses controlling for age, sex, and race ethnicity, and we used that to evaluate interactions between the pollutants and our income measure, which was based on the federal poverty level. So the California Health Interview Survey, also known as CHIS, is a geographically stratified random digit dial telephone survey that's conducted every 2 years since 2001. The interviews are conducted in 5 different languages, and the information for CHIS 2003 was collected for more than 54,500 non-institutionalized Californians, and it includes many standard health questions that are used in the National Health Interview Survey. For our purposes, we looked at the asthma-related questions. CHIS also uses geocodable residential address information and includes information on the duration of residence in the same neighborhood. So for this study, our study population was among children. So we had 12,500 children that responded to the CHIS 2003 survey, and roughly 15% of those children reported that they had an asthma diagnosis. Among those 15%, 65% roughly reported that they had current asthma, which meant that they had had either that they said that they still had asthma or they reported an asthma episode within the past year. All of these children lived within 5 miles of an air monitoring station. We linked their CHIS information to the air monitoring station that was within 5 miles of their residential address, and they had lived in their home or neighborhood for at least 9 months to account for exposure biases. So our first finding was, after we divided our income variable into 3 income groups, we looked at the lowest income group being less than 200% of the federal poverty level, second group between 200 to 399% of the federal poverty level, and the highest group being 400 plus of the federal poverty level. The lowest income group of children had the highest exposure to NO2. Also, in the lowest income group, children in that group had the highest percentage of visiting the emergency department, which both of these, actually, I'll go back to this one. Both of those are not too surprising. We've seen that documented in many other studies, that it is it is known that people in lower income groups have higher exposure to air pollutants. People in lower income groups have worse health outcomes. What was surprising to us is on the following slide, and that was the finding that children in the lowest income group had a greater increase in ED visits compared to children in the highest income group when both groups were exposed to the same level of air pollution, the same level of NO2. So the summary of all this is that compared to children with asthma living at 400 and above of the federal poverty level, children living in the lowest income group below 200% of the federal poverty level had greater NO2 exposure, had a greater prevalence of emergency department visits, and also we found that when all three income groups had the same increase in NO2 exposure, children in the lowest income group had even greater increases in ED visits than children in the highest income group. So in conclusion, low-income subpopulations still experience a greater burden of air pollutant exposure, and low-income children are more vulnerable to the effects of air pollution on asthma outcomes compared to their high-income counterparts. Health policy and community design should reflect the importance of protecting children from environmental exposures contributing to greater asthma burdens within these vulnerable subpopulations. And what it really points to is that there's still work to be done in social justice to make it where there is not a difference between being low income and high income in your pollutant exposure. But it also shows that even if we equalize this, that there will be other factors, such as things that were discussed by Dr. McDonald, that contribute to greater outcomes among these populations. And there's still many things to be addressed in addition to their pollutant exposures. And that is it. Thank you very much. That is possible. With NO2, it's a very short-range exposure. It's often a measure that's used for traffic exposure, kind of as a proxy for that. So that is possible. We did do a sensitivity analysis that looked at whether their exposure was 1, 3, 5, or 10 miles, and we found that the with the 5-mile distribution, that seemed to be the kind of the best one that we could use to try and include as many people as possible into our study, but also not bias our results because 10 miles would be just too far to try and do NO2 exposure. But yes, that is a limitation that's possible. And there was another question. For this one. It shows, this is actually the log odds, and it's a little bit interesting. It's more, this is more of a comparison slide, so it's just, you're needing to look at the low income versus the high income group. So it's not necessarily, this is not a decrease the low in the high income group compared to itself. This is compared to the low income group, if that makes sense. And then, did you have one?
Yeah, I have two questions.
Sure.
Simultaneously. The first one is about the actual exposures in terms of parts per billion. What does that mean with regard to sort of known hazards? You know, is it above? Is it below? Is it fairly well, recommendations as far as health outcomes? And then the corresponding question is about were the ED visits just any ED visit, or were they for asthma exacerbation?
Both good questions. So your first question was that whether the low-income group or high-income group, if their exposure relative to what is expected or what is okay, whether those were. I actually don't have a comment on that. I can look I can look back and see what the recommendations are, but we didn't address it here. But as far as the ED visits, those were only ED visits related to asthma exacerbations. Any other questions? Sure.
Are there any preliminary glances at what this looks like for ozone and those two particular measures?
We did have, it was more among racial ethnic minorities. We did have some interactions there also. And for this presentation, they were mostly interested in the ED visits and the NO2. But if you're interested, I have my posters that I presented yesterday, and they do have some of the findings from the other pollutants. Any other questions? Great, thank you so much.
Do you feel that you've been followed around in a store? And then it lists a lot of circumstances, such as because of your race, your height, your age, your, so it's not as specific to a form of discrimination. I think for children, they're able to select as many choices as they would like. And I think that is more applicable. I think the measure that I was using today is more like, have you been discriminated against by the police, by housing? It's too extreme for children. But I do think these measures are very important because I think we underestimate the fact that children are experiencing unfair treatment, and they may not identify it as discrimination, but they do identify it as unfair. So I think it is important to take into account for adverse.
I think it's important to continue to put the research out there today, because I know I'm going to say on behalf of the Virginia Department of Health, and we go out and run all the way down to the gentleman in the back to see about some of that was run before I even came here for my fellowship. I learned a lot about GIS and what they did, how they put together the HOI. So I think it's important to continue to take that information, that research, and present it at conferences and publish it.
Sure. As far as the work that I presented today, it was a study that was funded by the California Air Resources Board, and there had been a policy passed, I believe it was in 2008, that was specifically designed to help address what are called vulnerable populations, and at that time, racial, ethnic minorities and low-income groups were put into that, that policy, and so working for the Center for Health Policy Research, a lot of our work translates into informing policymakers about the risks that are in that are existing for these populations. And with the California Air Resources Board, their hope is to be able to inform policymakers in order to better address these situations for low-income and minority groups. So it's exciting to us that our work will get to translate into affecting a larger population, hopefully in all of California.
Did any questions come up as you were listening? Go ahead.
Yes and no. The yes in theory, because again, all of the individuals who participated in the study, in fact, were claimants of the health maintenance organization. The no part is under the jurisdiction of the project that wasn't included in the informed consent, so we have no ability to go back and obtain those data. So in theory, yes. In practical application, no.
A follow-up question about the health opportunity index. So in the index, each of these 10 factors are weighted equally. Have you done an analysis factor by factor to see
We actually looked at five different outcome measures. This was the one that showed up as significant. But we did look at daily medication use, at work and school absences, having greater than two work or school absences, school for children. We looked at it among adults also. We looked at asthma attack and there's ED visits, and there's one other one that was in the study. But we did look at five different outcome measures, and this one showed up as having a significant reaction.
But I think, quite frankly, what you're finding though makes sense, mm-hmm. right? Because exposure to particulates surely shouldn't change behavior, so it shouldn't show up in,
right.
in whether or not they're taking their medications. If it's showing up and it's having sort of modest effects, that's where you'd expect to sort of see it show up on sort of missed school days and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems as though you're seeing these higher concentrations having sort of severe requiring ED visits. So I think conceptually it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Any other comments from our presenters?
You're a great bunch of folks.
Well,